It's Friday, the 8th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to John Havlicek. Moneyball.com.au and TBALS711. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like TBALS711 and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become that lucky person. So thank you to TBALS711, and I am pronouncing it that way because it's written B-A-U-S-S. I think that has to be pronounced BALS, doesn't it? I'm not trying to be cool and say boss in a funny way. It is TBALS711, and I know I sound absolutely ludicrous speaking like that, but that's how I read it. Anyway, if you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, which you can do for every show, and want to interact with the show, ask me questions, add comments, just tweet at me at redrock_bball. I'll get those little notifications pop up on the screen in front of me as we're doing the show, and we can interact as the show is going to air. All you guys who listen later, you know you can tweet me at any point for any questions, and thank you for all your support this season, everybody. Of course, Moneyball is Australia's best daily fantasy sports website. They've been great supporters of the show all season, so make sure that you are checking out Moneyball and getting involved with all the great contests that are over there. AFL, NRL, NBA, of course, EPL, A-League, lots of great stuff happening over at Moneyball. We're down to the very end of the NBA regular season. Fantasy leagues, we know they should have wrapped up, but they haven't. There's plenty that are still running. DFS is still happening, and as much as I say it's risky at this point, but if you do research and you're locked in before lineup locks, you can make a fair bit of money at this point of the season. You've got to be really dedicated to it. You've got to be right onto things. But there's money to be made, as plenty of the listeners to this podcast will attest, and had plenty of people picking up their biggest wins for the season over the last week. So it's not a complete write-off for DFS. You have to be careful. You have to be really knowledgeable and switched on, which I hope this podcast helps in those areas. But there is money to be made from people who aren't quite as tuned into what is happening, and you can take their money in DFS contests. Okay.
Let's get to it.
I'll do my best. The monstrous line of the night for Thursday's action was and is Trevor Ariza of the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, it is a horrific loss for them at home against the Suns as they're trying to get themselves into the playoffs. Absolutely horrible. It's going to be tough for them now to make the playoffs. But Ariza, he did everything he could. He was one of only three Rockets to score in double digits. He had 22 points, added 2 rebounds, but had 3 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks, went 8 of 11 from the field. He hit 5 triples. He's a guy that, I don't know what the best way to say what Ariza's done this season. He's been disappointing for many people. Oh, he's shit. I'm dropping him. He's ranked 54th on the year. If you're looking in 9 category leagues, he's a comfortable top 50 guy because he's averaging just 1.4 turnovers a game. Yeah, last year, he's a little bit worse than last year, no doubt. He was 39th last year, 35th the year before. But he's basically a top 50 player. He gives you 2.3 triples a game. He gives you 2 steals a game. You have 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 12.5 points. These aren't awesome numbers, but your punt field goal percentage, which is an issue with him, we know he was at 41 this year, he's at 40 last year, that's a concern. You add that in and factor that in, then his numbers rise even further. And he's a real sneaky guy that you can get probably 2-3 rounds after where his value ends up being, because people just don't, they look and go, oh, he scores 12 points a game. He's got a terrible field goal percentage. And that field goal percentage might wipe him out of your draft plans. You know what? I can't afford to take a negative one in a Z score from the field goal percentage category, which is what he delivers. Can't afford to take it. And there's plenty of times I've looked at it and gone, you know what? I'm not punting field goals. I can't take this negative one on. But 2 steals and 2.5 threes, they're pretty elite numbers. So Ariza's been doing that basically all season, and he does fly under the radar a bit. So I'm glad that he got the monstrous line of the night, and I could talk a little bit extra about Trev today. The waiver wire line of the night, it's from the same game. It's basically Ariza's direct opponent, and that is PJ Tucker, who played 37 minutes and went 24-12. Of course he did. He had 2 threes, 5 assists, 1 steal, and he was great as well from the field, going 9 of 17. He has had a real offensive explosion over the last couple of weeks, and by that I mean he's averaging 7.8 points on the season, but the last 2 weeks he's at 12 points, and that's a significant jump. We're talking about a 50% increase on his season average. He's hitting a three a game in those 2 weeks, 9 boards, 1.1 steals, 3.3 assists. He's a real underrated guy, and he was horrific to start the season, and he was unownable for majority of the year. But with all the injuries the Suns have had, he has come back into standard league consideration, and he probably is someone that you want to look at and own in majority of places now, because he's going to play 35 minutes a night. He's going to take more shots. He's going to hopefully hit just as many, get those threes, get those steals, get the massive rebounding numbers as well, which from a shooting guard to get 9 boards a game on average is ridiculous. And he's doing more offensively, which is something that is helping his production. In fact, his last 4 games, he's taking 13 shots a game. He's hitting 2 threes a game, 14 points, 10 rebounds on average in the last 4. These are tremendous numbers. I don't imagine any of this carries over to next season, but he's been a standard league guy for the last 2 years, and he's shaped back into that now, despite a really horrific start to the season when he was absolutely horrific. And I've said that plenty of times because that's how bad he was. He was horrible. He's coming on strong now. The young gun of the night, Zach LaVine of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He only played 26 minutes. The Wolves went with their bench extended run in this game because the bench was playing pretty well. But 26 minutes for LaVine, 18 points, 4 triples, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block on 6 of 10 shooting. He's had a great second half to the year. He is still ranked only 116th on the season, but his last couple of months, he's inside the top 75, found more of a niche for himself, playing as a shooting guard, getting more minutes. He's only averaging 28 minutes on the season, but for the last 2 months, he's at 36. So it shows you how much he was being underplayed to start the year. And I hung a lot of shit on Sam Mitchell through the start of the season. I hung a lot of shit on him the other night when I was talking about his hooped earring and his baggy suits. But what he's doing at the moment, yes, the offense is still horrible. Yes, he's still not a great coach. There's no threes being hit. But at least, you know what? We've got a core. Here's our 5 best guys. Let's play them in the correct positions. Let's play them together. And they're getting better. What more can you ask? Yes, a modern offense that doesn't originate in 1991 that enables people to hit threes and do something interesting. Yes, you could ask for that. But this is not Byron Scott. This is not Kurt Rambis. The young players are playing. They're running the show. We don't have this. There was stupidity happening probably back in January when let's start Nikola Pekovic next to Karl Anthony Towns. Like, just bullshit like that. Dumb stuff. Tayshaun Prince playing 30 minutes a night. That's gone away. And these young players are getting it together. And LaVine's looking like he's going to be pretty much a staple in the top 100 for the next 5 or 6 years as a shooting guard. He's not doing a massive amount this year, but he's averaging 14 points, 1.5 threes, three assists a game, almost a steal, 45 and 79. Pretty good percentages. He gets decent rebounds, and he can get better than this. He can be a guy who gets to 17, 18 points a night. He hits maybe 1.8 threes, gets 3.5, 4 assists, gets a steal to a steal and a half a game. He's got a long way to go. But he has looked really good down the stretch. Now, he has fallen off just a little bit these last couple of weeks, especially with his shooting, but a nice performance here from Zach LaVine, and going to be a real interesting guy for next year for fantasy drafts. Where he goes, I don't think that you'll be able to get him outside the top 100, would be my guess. A lot depends, obviously, free agency, trades, drafts, all that sort of stuff. But he's working himself into a very nice shooting guard in this league. The dart of the night is Timmy Duncan of the San Antonio Spurs. He has really struggled against the Warriors this season. The first game he didn't play against them. The next one he played like 8 minutes. This one he started. He played 19 minutes and went 4-3-1. Interesting to see when these two hopefully match up in the playoffs, what Duncan's going to be able to do. Or is Pop just going to go, look, Timmy, you really struggle against this team. We're going to sit you down. We're going to play Boris more. We're going to play Dave West more. We're going to play a little bit more of Boban. Probably not Boban, more Western DL, I would imagine, and Aldridge at centre. But Duncan is really struggling against the Warriors. He's owned in 84% of leagues still. I know most of these leagues aren't still running, but Jesus, he shouldn't be owned in anywhere near that amount. He has to be dropped if you're still holding on to him. There are going to be plenty of better options to talk about it and to get onto your team, especially when we talk about the Spurs for their DFS preview for Friday, when basically it looks like nobody is going to be playing. It could be literally Popovich out there dribbling around 1-on-5. We'll see how that works out. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Thursday's games. At point guard, Goran Dragic had 37.4. play the Bulls, it happens. Steph Curry, 47.5. At shooting guard, Kyle Korver went for 31. That was a tournament special. You could not do anything without in cash. Jim Harden just finds himself on this list basically every night, even when his nights aren't so great. It's all about relativity and value relativity at the position. 43.9, you couldn't have done any better than getting Harden. PJ Tucker mirrored that. He went for 43.9. Rudy Gay went for 42.1 with the Kings doing some surprise resting with Boogie and Rondo out. And a power forward, Mirza Tolidovic, 34. I really did like his matchup against the Rockets. Rockets bump. And Gorgui Dieng bounced back with a 37.6 performance. He had a great matchup against the Kings. He hadn't even touched 25 minutes in the four previous games, so a little bit surprising to see him go off like this, but the matchup was awesome. And at center, Tyson Chandler, 37.5. Another beneficiary of the Rockets bump. That would have given you a very low total of 354.9. So if you're playing in DFS contests, you would have been able to cash at a lower score than what you would have normally. All right, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about today's presenting sponsor, and that is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Each month, you have until the 19th of that month to place your order to get this month's box, because after that, it's gone, it's done, it's finished. You're not getting these unique items. They're finished, unless you're paying exorbitant amounts on the secondary market, which I don't imagine why anyone would want to sell their exclusive items from Loot Crate. If you're interested in this, if you're a geek, if you're a nerd, if you like comic books, if you like video games, you go across to lootcrate.com, but put a slash in and do lootcrate.com/redrock, because that tells the guys at Loot Crate that you came from this podcast, that you heard about Loot Crate on my podcast, and you checked them out. Sound good? If you're interested, enter the promo code and... Well, it's not a promo code, what is it? It's a coupon code. That's how they phrase it. Yeah, the coupon code, REDROCK. It's one word. Save $3 on any new subscription. That's 15% off. Of a subscription. It's a great gift idea if you guys are a little bit older like me, you might have some, say, teenage nephews or nieces or guys who like this gaming sort of situation or are big into comic books and that sort of stuff. You don't have to go out and pick the items. Loot Crate does it for you. For April, we're looking at the theme of Quest. So the guys at Loot Crate are getting together items from Labyrinth, from Harry Potter, and Vikings, Uncharted 4, getting t-shirts in there, gear, collectibles, and putting all in that box, delivering it to your house, and all the guesswork is taken out, all the legwork is taken out as Loot Crate does that. By now, you're pretty familiar with our subscription box services, and Loot Crate is the newest one, and they've been kind enough to be a supporter of this podcast. So it'd be great if you guys could support Loot Crate and go over and just go to lootcrate.com and slash redrock. Check it out, and you get that $3 off coupon code as well. It doesn't get any better than that. So thank you to the guys at Loot Crate, and thank you to you guys who are listening. We are going to get into these 5 games now, bring them up in a little bit of extra detail, and thank you to DFS Lou, who's just tweeted out the address, lootcrate.com/redrock, on his Twitter account. That's very much appreciated there, Lou. I do enjoy that, so thank you. That's a great way of getting the marketing out there. I'll retweet that when I get a sec, Lou. All right, let's bring up these games in up on the screen for you guys watching along at home. We're going to go through these games as we always do in detail. There's only 5 of them on Thursday. The first one was the upset, the Phoenix Suns and the Houston Rockets. Tyson Chandler, 33 minutes, 21-10 with 2 steals. You can't deny what he's doing. He was, much like PJ Tucker, absolutely disgraceful to start the season, but coming on really strong at the moment. I still don't believe that he should be playing as much as he is, but he is. And again, this is something I stress ad nauseum in fantasy. It doesn't matter what I think should be happening. We have to be able to analyze what is actually happening and what is likely to happen. And at the moment, I don't think Tyson Chandler should be playing. They should be putting Alex Len close to the basket and allowing him to play as a center. You play Chandler a little bit, but he doesn't need to play this much at this point in the season. But I'm not the coach. I'm not the GM. You know, I'm not making these decisions. So whatever I think is best doesn't really matter. It's what do I think that Earl Watson thinks is best? And at the moment, he clearly thinks that playing Tyson Chandler 33 minutes a game is the best option. So we have to take advantage of that. 21-10, he's getting big field goal percentage. He blocks shots. He's getting rebounds. And the scoring is actually coming together for Chandler now as well. Keep him in mind. Ron Price played 27 minutes. Only had 9 points. But the good thing about that is they all came from triples. He had 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block. very much in the Shane Larkin mold. He's going to be a great source of steals. He'll get assists. He'll get some threes. He won't do much else. But Ron Price at this point has to be looked at in leagues. So does Mirza Teletovic, who played 31 minutes, 26-5 with four triples. And that's with John Lua back, so that's a good sign for his value moving forward. And Alex Len got 30 here. 6, 8, and 7. What a weird stat line for Len. No blocks, 40% shooting again. He just needs to play at center to get this field goal percentage up. So when we get to next season and talk about the Suns, which obviously, again, lots has to happen, I imagine that if they decide to play him at center, which they might not because Chandler might be cemented into that spot, but if Len is going to be the center moving forward, then that field goal percentage will rise, as will his block numbers. Devin Booker is going to hurt your field goal percentage, no doubt. 4 of 15 here. 15 points, 4 assists, and a triple one. So not an overly productive night, but not a terrible one. But those percentage issues are going to creep up from time to time. Archie Goodwin had 16, 2, and 5 with 3 steals. Don't get too interested in that one. The Rockets talked about Trevor Ariza. Jim Harden, 30, 2, 7, 2 steals, 5 triples on 10 of 14 shooting. And you won't see many nights where Jim Harden's field goal percentage is the equal of his free throw percentage, but that's exactly what we had here. He's doing as best as he can to keep this Rockets team afloat. It's not working all that well, but Harden has been tremendous. He's been an elite asset for your fantasy team. Dwight Howard played 30 minutes, takes 7 shots. He's just, I don't even know what the hell's going on with this guy anymore. 10-7 with 4 blocks, just a real disappointment. And Pat Beverley went 9, 3, and 9. Those 9 assists are a surprise for Beverley. The 2 steals and 2 threes are why you'd own him, but getting 9 assists is a real bonus. Donatas Motiejunas went from DMP CD back to being a starter, but he only played 12 minutes. 6 points and 2 steals, not all that productive. And KJ McDaniels went back to the bench and he played 1 minute. Mick Beasley, only the 12 minutes here, 9 points and 2 rebounds. This is the concern with Beasley. His minutes are up and down and up and down. And when he plays, then you know, we can get good production in the points and rebounds category. But Josh Smith played 18 minutes here. That's not great news for Beasley moving forward. You might be able to do better than Mick in a lot of situations. You might not be. And he can be a really decent source of points in those deep performances, but I reckon you can do better in 12s. Now, Josh Smith had 6 points, both from 3. He had 4 rebounds and 2 assists, and actually hit 2 of 4 shots, which is a bonus for Josh Smith. 0 of 2 from the line. That's pretty standard. And 5 turnovers in 18 minutes. I don't imagine he is going to be making any sort of an impact moving forward. The Raptors and the Hawks. The Hawks get the victory. Damari Carroll returned for Toronto. He only played 14 minutes. He had 5 points, he had a 3, and he had 4 steals. With only a couple of games left, I don't think that Carroll is going to play enough minutes to be, if he's on a wire, that I have to absolutely grab Carroll. Yeah, 4 steals is nice, but 4 steals in 14 minutes is not realistic. It's not something that's likely to happen again. So he might play 15 minutes in the next game and have a similar performance, but without any steals. And it's not really worth it. So I'm definitely not rushing to grab him. Overall, the Raptors were pretty disappointing. DeMar DeRozan, 16, 4, and 4 on 7 of 24 shooting. Kyle Lowry went 16, 4, and 6. And these aren't horrible lines, but they're not fantastic. And Jonas Valanciunas, 13, and 8 with a block in just 21 minutes. Just needs to play more. You know my thoughts on him. But this game was over relatively quickly. Corey Joseph, 18 minutes, 6 points. Not relatively quickly is maybe the wrong word. Dwayne Casey was able to get his bench guys in there and wasn't pushing too hard for the victory. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. Pat, 3, 4, and 2. He had 2 steals, a block, and a 3. So just getting it done in little chunks, but not a 12-team guy. Normie Powell, another 31 minutes, 9 and 4 with 2 threes. But I reckon with Carroll returning, the chances of Powell getting 30 minutes very often, you've got to consider in this one, Corey Joseph only played 18 and Terrence Ross only played 19. Not sure if Normie Powell gets 30 again this season. So if you're looking to maximize games, he is definitely going to be a cut candidate. Luis Scola played 11 as a starter and he went 2 and 4. On the Hawks, a big game from Paul Millsap, 13 and 14, a steal, 5 blocks, great performance. Kyle Korver, 14, 5 and 4 with 4 triples and 3 blocks. A big out-of-the-blue performance from Korver. Does not mean I need to go and grab him though. Al Horford, 11, 8 and 6 with a 3, 2 steals, decent game there. And Kent Bazemore was out, so we saw Thabo Sefolosha get the start. He played 29 minutes and went 10, 2 and 1. That's all right, but Tim Hardaway probably got the most value here. He played 28 minutes Hardaway. 11 points, including 3 threes, 1 rebound and 0 assists, which is pretty stock standard Tim Hardaway, but he added a steal, he added 2 blocks, and he was nice in the percentages. If Bazemore happens to miss more time, Hardaway will be a points and 3 sort of stream option. not a must-own guy by any stretch of the imagination. Jeffy Teague played 30 minutes, went 23 points, had 5 assists and 2 triples, while Big Dan Schroeder went scoreless in 15 minutes and had 3 assists and a block, missed all 7 of his shots, and he is massively struggling at the moment. Mike Scott had a nice little cameo, 11 and 7 in his 14 minutes off the bench, and that reduced Chris Humphries to just the 3 minutes. We're talking pretty deep leagues if you're relying on Mike Scott and Chris Humphries. The next game, the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. The Bulls were without Etuan Moore and Taj Gibson, as they were expected to beat. Pau Gasol, 21 and 12, 4 blocks, a big night from him. And Jim Butler, yeah, not bad, but a 7 of 17 shooting night is not good. 10 of 10 from the line sort of makes up for it. 25, 1 and 6, a 3, a block, yeah, a decent night from Jim. Derrick Rose went 17, 3 and 3 with 2 steals. That's okay, but not great. Well, Nick Mirotic, he moved into the starting position, pushed Bobby Portis to the bench, and Mirotic played 27 minutes, and he wasn't good. 4, 1 and 1, but 3 steals sort of helps. I would still be holding on to Mirotic. You know that, well, we've seen what he can do. Yeah, when he gets an opportunity, this just wasn't not a good option, not a good situation for him, not a good performance for him. Maybe that's better to phrase it that way. Bob Portis played 20 off the bench and had 6 and 10. He's only a really deep or dynasty sort of guy. Mick Dunleavy, 2 points in 19 minutes, and Dougie McDermott had 6 in his 21 minutes. No interest in any of those guys really. Justin Holiday actually played 30 minutes with Etuan Moore out. 9, 2, and 3, a steal, a 3, 2 blocks, decent numbers, but you got to be 16 to 18 team leagues to have any sort of confidence in Holiday getting to 30 minutes. I don't imagine he gets to that again. For the Heat, Hassan Whiteside did play in this one. He was battling with a sore thigh. 27 minutes, 16 and 12 with a steal and a block. Pretty good numbers. Goran Dragic looked good against the Bulls, shockingly enough. 16, 12 and 4. A steal, a block, decent night. Joey Johnson, 17, 3 and 4 with 3 triples. He'd been really struggling. He shot 7 of 10 here, so I don't imagine that's going to be something that continues on. Well, Dwayne Wade went 21, 5 and 4 in his 33 minutes. Joshy Rich, 32 minutes for Richardson, 11, 2 and 1 with a 3. Love him, but not sure that you need to hold on. And Luol Deng, 13, 2 and 3 in his 33 minutes. As per usual, Justice Winslow playing minutes, but not doing much with him. 2 and 6 in 29 minutes for Justice. Minnesota and Sacramento. Nemanja Bjelica had a career-high 18 points in 26 minutes. He hit 4 triples, he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. A massive performance from him, but it's fueled by 6 of 7 shooting, so don't look into it and go, ooh, do I get anything from Bjelica coming down the stretch? Because the last game the Timberwolves played, it was, ooh, do I add Shabazz Muhammad? And he played 16 minutes and had 10 points on 3 of 10 shooting. So no is the answer to Muhammad, no is the answer to Bjelica. Tyus Jones played 26 minutes, 5 points, but 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals and a 3. Very productive, great for your deeper leagues, and definitely a name that you know that I've got high on my dynasty watch list. Gorgui Dieng, 18 and 13, he had a block as well, so a bounce back for him. 34 minutes is huge, the most he's played in over a week, while Karl Anthony Towns had a triple one and went 17 and 10, but his percentages were a bit off in this one. Wigo was a little bit the same, 15, 4 and 2, he had a 3 and a steal, not his best performance, while Rick Rubio did not even attempt a single shot. He played 22 minutes and had 2 points, but had 3 rebounds, 7 assists and a steal. 5 turnovers, definitely wasn't his best night, and that now enabled Tyus Jones to get a bigger opportunity, basically. And Rubio really squandered a chance to put up a huge night here. Tayshaun Prince added 2 points in his 19 minutes. The Kings, they rested DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo. The good old resting Kings. They're not resting for anything apart from more lottery balls. So Cousins out again. He's going to miss a couple more games. Now, do they have one more game left? It's a good question. I probably should have looked that up beforehand. Let's get to the Kings' schedule while I look this up, because we know that Cousins is going to... We don't know. We assume that Cousins is going to miss the last 2 games of the Kings' schedule. Let's bring it up now. Where are they? The Sacramento Kings. Yep, they've got one more game left against the Thunder on Saturday, and then Cousins is going to miss those next 2. So you got to hope he's taken off the can't drop list, which should also, one of my many gripes with fantasy leagues, can't drop lists or can't cut lists shouldn't exist. They shouldn't be there. Yeah, Cousins needs to be cut after the next game. Rudy Gay, really good night, 13 and 13, but it was the other stats that it really counted here. 1-3, 3 assists, 5 steals and 2 blocks for Gay. A 4 of 15 night from the field is not ideal. Willie Cauley-Stein, another start, 15-6 with 3 steals in 33 minutes. And Darren Collison started in place of Rondo and went 19-2-6. I still think you should be owning Rondo regardless, not Rondo, Collison, regardless of Rondo's status. Seth Curry got another start, 10 points with 2 triples in 26 minutes. Obviously not his greatest night. And Kostas Koufos really struggled with foul trouble. 21 minutes for Koufos, 2 points, but 10 boards, 2 assists and a steal. Sort of did what he needed to do. And the 1 of 7 shooting night is not ideal. But when Cousins misses those last 2 games, I do really like Koufos to be a much more productive player than this. Ben McLemore had 8-4 in his 19 minutes. And Quincy Acey had a game for the ages, 16-7. He had a 3, he had a block, and he went 7 of 12 from the field. I wouldn't be overly excited about AC doing that again. And speaking of not doing it again, Jim Anderson played 30 minutes and had 2 steals and 2 blocks to go with his 9 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. You can leave him for the 20-team leaguers. The last game of the night was the Spurs and the Warriors. The Warriors opened up a lead very early, and this game was over very, very quickly indeed. Danny Green for the Spurs showed us exactly what he should have been doing for most of the season. 29 minutes. 9-5-1, but 3 triples, 4 steals, and 2 blocks is exactly why that Danny Green was a top 50 player heading into this season. He has been disgustingly bad this year, but that's what he can do. Kawhi played 35, went 23-3-2, while LaMarcus Aldridge dislocated a finger, came back, played 29 minutes, and went 11-3-2, had 2 steals, and was 5 of 16 from the field. He has been horrible in the 2 games in Golden State, but really thrived in the game in San Antonio. Tony Parker, 10-2-3, he's definitely cuttable. And Manu had 6-1-2 in his 20 minutes. While Kyle Anderson, another decent performance. 20 minutes for Kyle, 8-11-3. And when Kawhi is going to be out on Friday, Anderson is going to be a guy to really, really look at and look at super hard. On the Warriors, Steph, 27-5-9, 2 steals, 3 triples, 11 of 19 shooting, superb. Draymond, 18-6-7 with 2 triples. And Klay Thompson had 14-3-6 with 2 threes. But what about my boy Harry Barnes? He played 33 minutes, dropped 21, had 3 triples and 8 rebounds. And for a guy that was just disgustingly bad for massive stretches of the season, he's a top 100 player the last 2 weeks. He has looked exceedingly not good, but serviceable. He's shooting 53% in the last 2 weeks. He's hitting 2 threes. And I've said this the whole time I've been hanging shit on Harry Barnes. What I've been saying is that next season he is going to be in a prime position to break out, whether he comes to another team or he signs with the Warriors. Guys coming back off severe ankle injuries are always horrible for the rest of that season. He's still a young guy. He will come back massively better. He's currently ranked 137, so let's say he finishes the season 140th. I wouldn't be shocked if he is a top 100 player next season for the duration of the season. And if he goes to another team that's a poor team, he could easily be a top 75 player. So he is definitely a guy that's on my in a keeper league situation. Obviously, this is not the greatest time to get him considering he's playing well, but I reckon he's going to be a lot better than this next season. Bogut played 22 minutes, went 6-11, had a couple of blocks, had a steal. Big night from him. And that's really, 12-team value. Just doesn't happen often enough. Festus Ezeli still trying to get his fitness back. 8 minutes for 4 points. And Andre Iguodala played 21. He had 4-2-1 with a couple of steals. As per usual, the bench not providing a huge amount in a fantasy value point of view. All right, we're going to take a break now. That's it for the 5 games. Then we're going to be back to preview Friday's action from a DFS point of view. Now Let's back. We're back. Let's talk Friday's action. There are 10 games, and it is filled with landmines this Friday 10-game slate because the Spurs are going to be resting a shit ton of players. The Clippers are going to be resting a metric shit ton of players. I don't know what the difference between the two is, but it's a lot for both teams. So there is low price guys scattered all over the landscape. You are, especially at the point guard position, there are so many low cost guys around. You might fill out a roster and have $500-$600 left, and you might have to add it. Look at it, I can go big and add a big name player in, even if I don't think they're in the great spot, because I've just got this extra cash sitting around. It's going to be the case. There is going to be so many guys that you look at and go, Jesus, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this guy, and your roster is going to come out at 30,000. Because you're just trying to go for all this value, but you're going to have to end up spending some money to actually get some points on the board. It is risky as well because not all of these low price guys can hit. So it's probably a day where I reckon you want to limit some exposure, especially with this resting happening. Throw a few more lineups into a tournament and maybe one hits, but it's not a great night. I wouldn't have thought because there's so much up in the air. Let's look at the first game. It's the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 15. The total is 204 points. The point guard. See, Shane Larkin's been one of my better low-priced point guards around. Yeah, his salary's risen. It's up to 4,700. But he's still not the best one on the board. There's other guys that are out there. But Larkin's still great value. He's averaging 26 across his last five. He dropped 30 in the last game. The Hornets aren't a great defensive team against point guards. So what's to say that Larkin doesn't get 26, 27, 30 points again? He's definitely in play. On the other side, Kemba Walker plays the Nets, who are horrible. He's at 7,900. He dropped 44 in the last game. He's averaging 40 across his last three. Look, maybe he doesn't have to play that many minutes in this one, but the Hornets want to win. They need to win because they need to get themselves in the right seeding or where they want to go. They want home court advantage, obviously. So Kemba's going to be playing hard. And if Nick Batum is out, that's more that goes towards Kemba Walker. So I really like using him. The other guys, Don Sloan, Jorge Gutierrez, Aaron Harrison, pretty confident we're not going to need to do too much with those guys in terms of their fantasy value. The shooting guard position, Courtney Lee is at 4,300. Even the last couple of games with Batum out, he's sort of a 21-point guy. The matchup is really nice, and at 4,300, he could go for 25, he could go for 30. There's a possibility of that, but I'm not overly sold on it. Definitely fine with it. Jezza Lynn is at 4,500. Matchup's awesome. His last three against the Nets have yielded 27 on average. If Batum is out, definitely looking at him. If Batum is in, I'm cooling a bit on Lynn, especially since he's had a $300 salary rise lately. Jeremy Lamb, no. Wayne Ellington, too unpredictable. Markel Brown, no. And Sean Kilpatrick at 3,700. We know what he does is score, but he doesn't do anything else, and that's not a great recipe for DFS. Let's look now at the... where are we? Let's look at the small forwards. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's at 3,800. He's not going to play enough minutes or be anywhere near enough productive for me to get too interested in using him. He did have 17 in the last game. At 3,800, that's mildly interesting, but probably not. Now, Nick Batum is at 7,600, so he's not overly priced, but I doubt that he plays in this one. If he played, it'd be a pretty good spot, but probably not going to look at him. Bojan Bogdanovic is really struggling, averaging just 13 points across his last five. The salary is still over 4,000, so that makes him a tough guy to use. Power forwards, Marv Williams is at 5,600. The salary is really appealing for Marv. He should be able to get to 30 here. But there's a bit of risk associated with him. He does have some stinkers at times. I reckon he's more of a tournament guy to look at. Tom Robinson has gone up by $600 again. So he's now at $6,600. So any value in Thomas Robinson is very, very quickly being eroded. His last three games have given you 36 points. That's good. He had 40 in his last one. That's also good. But at $6,600, do you really want to put trust in Thomas Robinson giving you 33 points? I would say maybe, but I definitely wouldn't be massively on it. I wouldn't be like, I've got to have Thomas Robinson everywhere. He's creating value. He's sort of almost at the right spot now, and that's not great. If Nick Batum is out, Frank Kaminsky's at 3,800. He started the last game. He played 30 the game before. He played 24 in this one. He dropped 27 points. I feel like you're going to get 20 points out of Frank Kaminsky if Batum is out with a ceiling of 25 and up. I reckon he'd be definitely worth looking at. If we hear that Batum's out and they go, and we're starting Lynn, then you cool a bit on Kaminsky. But the game before, when they did start Lynn, when Batum was out and Kaminsky came off the bench, he played 30 minutes. So it's not It's not horrible to look at him. Chris McCullough is also an interesting one. With Willie Reed out for the season for the Nets, it's another big man gone. $4,000 for McCullough. He had 27 in the last game and looked pretty decent. But my trust level in him doing it again, it's obviously pretty low. But he might be a tournament play. At center, we don't like using Cody Zeller. Henry Sims at $4,000. Didn't start the last game. They started Robinson there and put Sims on the bench, and that really dissuaded me from getting too interested. But if they move back to Sims as a starter at $4,000, I think you do have to look. Al Jefferson put a massive game in the last one, put up 38 points, and he's averaging actually 27 points across his last five. It's a good matchup for him, but I don't really have any trust in him whatsoever. So, yeah, you might look in a tournament, but I don't think he'd be very high. Well, I know he won't be very high in my pool of players. Point guards. Let's go to the next match. Miami and Orlando. There is no spread release for this one. And now let's look at point guards. I don't really like any of these guys here. Goran Dragic at 6,700. He had a great matchup against the Bulls and dropped 37. But at 6,700 against the Magic, who play defense pretty well against point guards, not loving it. Lord Alfred Payton, 5,900. Say the same thing for him. He's been good lately. He's averaging 27 across his last three, but at 5,900 and the Heat, who defend point guards well, it's not going to work out well. So Dragic, Payton, and then Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson, no real interest in them. Maybe if you believe in narratives and a weird situation, you might go with Shabazz Napier revenge game against the Heat, but I'd say you're pretty unlikely to have that payoff. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade's at 7,500. 6,500, smashing him. 7,500, probably not. Vic Oladipo, 8,200. It's too expensive, especially in a slowdown sort of game against the Heat. Against the Heat, won't be using him. Joshy Rich at 4,600, way too expensive. He's averaging 15 points across his last five, and you know how much I love Joshy. The small forward matchup, Evan Fournier is always interesting to me at 5,300. He's more of a tournament guy, but I think that Justice Winslow can put the clamps on him pretty quickly. Speaking of Winslow, he's at 3,800 and he won't be worthwhile. 49 for Joe Johnson. No. And Mario Hezonja at minimum salary. Just needs a bigger role and then we'll consider him. Power forwards, there's not really much to like here either. Luol Deng at 6,300. Not really approaching 30 much over the last couple of games. It is a good matchup for him, so he's worth looking at. Aaron Gordon is out with a concussion. So who's that going to open the minutes up for? Does Andrew Nicholson get more of a run? Now, he's someone I am interested in. He's at 4,300. Maybe he gets to 30 points. We have to see what Skiles does with the rotation. Maybe he starts Ersan Ilyasova and he's at 3,900. And then, he becomes an interesting target. But overall, the matchups against the Heat power forwards is not good. But if these guys get extended minutes, Ilyasova and Nicholson, or even a guy like Jason Smith, if he happens to play there, then you're going to get some value out of them. But it depends on what Skiles does. And even then, it's one of those things I talked about earlier. What if they start Ilyasova? They might play him 15 and play 30 to Nicholson off the bench. They might start Nicholson and play him 15 and play Jason Smith 30 off the bench. It's very much fraught with danger. As good as the value might look, we just don't know what Skiles is going to do. There's going to be no real rock-solid consistency happening. The centers, I do like Nick Vucevic at 8,000 here. He has been coming off the bench the last couple of games, but it hasn't impacted what he's been able to do. He's averaging over 40 across his last three. Do like him here. Hassan Whiteside at 8,600. He's averaging just 39, which is awesome. But at 8,600, you want just that little bit more. It is a good matchup for him. It's a better matchup for him than what it is for Vucevic, despite it being a positive one for Vuce as well. Whiteside is an okay option, but I would still rather take the save the 600 bucks and use Vuce. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Knicks are a whopping 3-point favorite. The total is 201 in this one. Let's look at the point guard situation. Jerian Grant played only 23 minutes as a starter in the last one at 3,800. You have to think that, yes, he's going to be a decent guy to look at, but Kurt Rambis is also the coach. So that resting movement lasted about four games because Melo played 38 in the last one. So use Jerian Grant at your own risk. Ish Smith at 6,200 has really been struggling lately, averaging just 20 points over his last three games. Not going to be spending 6,200 on him, although it's not a horrible guy to punt away in a tournament. TJ McConnell, Isaiah Cannon, don't really think that any of those guys are gonna blow up too big. At shooting guard, Langston Galloway's at 4,000. Again, he was subject to a Kurt Rambis change in heart. So at 4,000, you might look at him, but again, I'm just scared of what Rambis is going to do. Aaron Aflalo, please, and Sasha Vujicic. At 3,800, you know what? You have to actually look at Vujicic. And this goes back to what I was saying about Earl Watson earlier on with the Suns. It's not what I think is right, because I know that I know more about the way rotation should be run than what Kurt Rambis does. But I have to look at what Rambis is doing. And he's giving minutes to Vujicic. He's averaging 25 across his last three and giving us 21.3 fantasy points. And at 3,800, that's marginally valuable. And he can get hot and he can put up 25s, 30-point performances, which he has done in the last five. I have no trust in it, but it could happen. And at 3,800, it's a really nice a play that could give you 7x value pretty comfortably. Source Castillo, yeah, probably don't think he's going to be worth it. The small forwards, Bob Cove's at 6,300. I do not like using Bob Cove at 6,300. Hollis Thompson was marginalized in the last game, and he's at 4,600. I'm not overly interested there. And Mallow at 8,500. Do we get 25-minute Mallow? Do we get 38-minute Mallow? Regardless, I'm not sure at 8,500 that he's going to be a very wise investment. The power forwards, I don't think we're going to be seeing...
percentages.
So Derek Williams is at 4,500. Now, his salary's had a big jump. It's $800 up. But at 4,500, I don't think that really rules him out of being usable. He had 29 in the last game, and you think that he should be able to get 25 pretty comfortably. And at 4,500, that's more than enough. 6,400 for Nerlens Noel. Played only 18 minutes in the last game. Not going to be using him until we see that he's back to full strength. While 5,400 for Kyle Landry has been really good lately, averaging just a shade under 30 in his last five. But at 5,400, that's sort of pushing the friendship for me, so I'm not sure I'd use him. Jeremy Grant against his brother, 5,000, maybe, but the consistency is nowhere near there. And Kevin Serafin and Elton Brand, they're not going to be worthwhile to me. At center, Robin Lopez, he falls into the Mallow bracket of what sort of minutes is he going to play. 5,800, the matchup looks really good for him, but does he play 24 minutes? Does he play 34 minutes? That's the big unknown with Robin Lopez, so that makes it hard to recommend him in all spots. While Kylo Quinn, again, he just needs minutes, and that's just not coming for him at the moment. Milwaukee and Boston is the next game. There is no spread released for this one just yet. We look at the point guards. I think we're going to have a few of these guys sitting out in this game. Jared Bayless is not on the upcoming road trip, so he won't be playing for the next couple of games. Tyler Ennis, another one of these cheap point guards that we look at. He's at 3,800. Now, he's got a shit matchup against the Celtics, so that doesn't work in his favor. He only had 14 points in his last game in 28 minutes, so that's obviously not working out all that well. But the opportunity's there. We know he can go for 30 points because he's done it in these last five games. He had a 32-pointer. And at 3,800, is he worth looking at? Sure. He might be, with so many other cheap point guards out there, he might be the contrarian option, and that could work out for you. Isaiah Thomas at 7,900. Really, despite losing Carter Williams, defense against the Bucks' defense against point guards has still been really good. Now, Isaiah Thomas at 79, I think you definitely have to look at him. He got 49 in the last game. He's averaging 38 across his last three. I think he's in play at less than 8,000, but he's not a super guy to look at. With Evan Turner likely back, Marcus Smart at 4,500 makes a tough play. Well, General Grievous Vasquez, Terry Rozier aren't going to be in anyone's lineup, so I wouldn't have thought so anyway. At shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton is questionable. If Chrissy is out, it's going to boost Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker's playing time and also give Johnny O'Brien a bigger role. He's at 7,200, Chrissy. Had a massive game in the last game before his injury where he dropped 42, but I'm not trustworthy of him at the moment. Avery Bradley at 5,800. That's sort of right where he is, so that's not a big upside play. While Rashard Vaughn played 45 minutes in the last game and had 22 points. He is he struggles. He's almost at half a fantasy point per minute over his last five, which is not ideal. He's at 3,600, and you feel that the minutes are going to be pretty good for him, especially if Middleton is out, and maybe one day something clicks for him. So at 3,600, again, he makes a really good contrarian play that has got huge upside, because you play 30 minutes, you play 35 minutes, yeah, maybe he gets 35 points, and maybe that turns into 10x value. That'd be pretty good. Small forwards, Giannis at 9,700. I know I've been big on fading Giannis, but at 9,700 against the Celtics, I'm all for using him here. I think that in a day where there's so many cheap options around, you find someone like Giannis who, even if he has a stinker, he probably will get you 40 points. And that, 9,700 might not seem like good value, but if you're getting 28 out of a 3,500 player, you're making up for it, and you should hopefully do yourself well. So I think Giannis at 9,700 is a real good play. 6,100 for Evan Turner. I'd rather spend the $6,300 on Jay Crowder, who has been pretty good since coming back. He's averaging 32 across his last three games, and I feel that 30-point games shouldn't be a stretch for him to get against the Milwaukee Bucks. The power forwards, Jabari Parker, I do really like here as well. He's at $6,600. We know the Celtics bump for power forwards is enormous. He dropped only just a 25 in his last game, but he's averaging 35 across the last five. That should be his target here, and I imagine he gets that relatively comfortably. As for the Celtics big, Jonas Jerebko, Jared Sullinger, Amir Johnson, who knows what to expect. Johnson at $4,500 is a tournament option. Sullinger probably a little bit expensive. On the Bucks, Johnny Henson, $3,600. Completely marginalized over the last couple of games. He's averaging 4.4 points in his last three in just 9 minutes, so he's just as liable to go out and play 25 minutes and drop a 30-pointer on us. At center, Greg Monroe, he has been fantastic the last few times against Boston, averaging 45 points in his last three outings, but in his last five actual games, he's only getting 26 minutes and 26 points. He's still a fantasy point per minute guy, and at $5,700, what you have to say to yourself, do I think Greg Monroe gets 30 minutes? And if your answer is yes, then you use him. If your answer is no, and you think he gets 23 minutes, then you don't use him. But he gets Celtics bump here. He's got great history against this team. He's still producing fantasy points in his role. It's all about what sort of minutes does he get. And Johnny O'Brien got 21 points in the last game. He played 31 minutes with Chris Middleton out. Now, if we hear that he's starting again and at $3,600, I don't know how many people are going to be on Johnny O'Brien. But you get 25 points out of 3,600. Again, there's value there. I put zero trust in it, though, and I don't even think that he will be, with so many other cheap options around, not sure he's going to be one of the guys that I'm going to be targeting actively. The Washington Wizards and the Detroit Pistons were up next. We've got no spread release for this one, and that's because Johnny Wall, we do not know if he is playing. The Wizards have still got a slim chance of making the playoffs. I'm not really sure that they are actually due, to be honest. But 9,400 for Johnny Wall. I wouldn't be playing him at 9,400. The Pistons are great defensively against point guards. He's dealing with a sore knee. I would even doubt that he plays, to be honest. And if he doesn't play, then Ramon Sessions is definitely the guy we want. He's at 4,100. He dropped 40 in the last game. That's probably an unrealistic target, but 30 points shouldn't be. And we'd be loving Ramon Sessions if Wall is out. Reg Jackson at 6,000 had a real big slump throughout most of March, but at 6,000 he is averaging 31 across his last three. If Johnny is out, especially, love using Reg Jackson here. I think he can put up some big numbers. At shooting guard, we've got Brad Beal, we've got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Pope at 5,100 had a big game, or Caldwell Pope. I don't like calling him Pope. It's like when I hear people call Willie Cauley-Stein Stein. I'm just not a fan of that. Anyway. Or even Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, when they call him, I think I heard John Calipari call him Mike Gilchrist, and that really bothered me. Anyway, if the players don't mind, well, who am I to care? Let's get on with it. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 5,100. He had a bounce-back game in the last one, dropped 28 points. His salary has actually come down since that game, which doesn't make a massive amount of sense. It's not a good matchup for him, but I reckon you still got to consider him. He's definitely in play. Brad Beal's at 6,000, and that's sort of pushing where he should be. He's getting about 34 minutes a game at the moment. He is averaging 30 points across his last five, but defensively, the Pistons are pretty good against shooting guards, so it's not a good spot, I don't think, for Beal. If John Wall is out, then I'd be a little bit interested in Beal getting that extra usage after he dropped the 39 in the last game that Wall was out of. Garrett Temple at 3,800, he dropped 32 with Wall out. I don't trust Garrett Temple to do that again. He has a couple of those games, and he makes almost an ultimate tournament play, but that's literally it. Small forwards, Stan Johnson did not play at all in the last game, DNP CD. Marcus Morris, after that ridiculous hot streak, is now averaging 19 points across his last three, so he has fallen off in a big way. He's at 5,700, but he is still in play, and he is still an option. 5,500 for Otto Porter. I'd actually rather take the extra $200 on Marcus Morris and give him a crack there. The last five games that Marcus Morris has played against the Wizards, he's averaged he's only averaged 24 points. So it's not great. Stan Johnson, Kelly Oubre, we're not going to be looking too much at them. And Reg Bullock put up 30 points in 27 minutes in the last game, but that's highly unlikely to happen again. Maybe if Wall's out, maybe. Unlikely. Markieff Morris at 5,600 stunk it up in the last one, but despite that stinker, he's still averaging 32 points across the last three. So I reckon you're definitely okay with getting him out there. Toby Harris at 66, that just feels too high for my liking. Nene at 41, he's been productive, Nene, but I don't trust it. Dudley, Tolliver, Hixon, Gooden, they're just names at this point. at centre. 66 for Marcin Gortat. He did have a big one in the last game. He's averaging 33 across his last three, but 66 just feels a bit expensive despite the matchup really, really sitting his direction. I might be inclined to use him, but I reckon there's probably a better guy out there. Andre Drummond at 7,900. I'm not interested in using him at the moment. There's too much unknown with the playing time and him going up and down, and his production actually just not being that great at the moment. The next game we look at is the Indiana Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. This shapes as a very wholly unappealing fantasy matchup anyway. Kyle Lowry at 7,900, not producing anywhere near that sort of value, averaging under 30 across his last five, and a terrible matchup. Pass. George Hill, pass. Ty Lawson, I don't even need to say pass. And Corey Joseph at 3,800. Projections continue to think he's going to be all right, but I'm really not a fan. His last three games against the Pacers, he's averaging 4 points. At shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan at 8,100. He's been relatively serviceable against the Pacers recently. 37-point average in his last five, 38 in the last three against Indiana. At 8,100, again, you might have just put so much value in other spots and cheap contracts that you might just have to throw DeMar out there, and it might work out. Monte Ellis at 6,100, that feels too expensive. Normie Powell at 41, no trust whatsoever, and a shit matchup. Solomon Hill dropped 27 in the last game, but that feels like a real taking advantage of the circumstance sort of situation, so I'm not going to be getting too interested in him, nor with Terrence Ross or Rod Stuckey. The small forwards, Paulie George is at 8,800. Paulie George, 8,800, it feels just too high. I can't get behind it. You know what? He's been solid. Yeah, 40 points average across the last five. He's pretty good. But his last three is just 36. Maybe he turns it around with a decent game here. I'm not overly sold. CJ Miles has been good. He's averaging over 25 in his last three. And at 4,000, that's a winner. Again, there's no trust whatsoever, though, in him doing that. Damari Carroll, he might not even play with a back-to-back. And even so, wouldn't be using him at his 5,400 salary. The power forward, Pat is still remaining at a pretty cheap price. He doesn't do a huge amount with it, though, nor does Luis Scola. And Miles Turner has now dropped to 5,000. Unknown what sort of role he's going to have. He played just 5 minutes in the last game. He has dropped right off. He is a punt option only, but I wouldn't even be keen on doing that. Lavoy Allen, who's replaced him in the starting lineup, is not an intriguing fantasy guy either. At center, Jonas Valanciunas at 6,200. It feels $300 too high, and it's not a good matchup. I reckon I'll pass on Jonas. Jan Mihinmi at 5,300. I'm more on board with using Jan and saving, say, an extra $1,000 over Valanciunas and getting your 26, 27 points, and he's averaging 26 across the last five, so I'm okay there. Bismack Biyombo, Jordan Hill, Shane Whittington, and Lucas Nguera. I don't know why I called him Lucas. I suppose that's his name, but Bebe Nguera. I'm not going to bother the scorers too much. The next game, the New Orleans Pelicans hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. The Pelicans are favored by two. The total is 202.5. Let's look at the point guards. Now, big Norris Cole. I don't know why I called him Big Norris Cole. He has not played since March the 7th. The Pelicans have listed him as questionable every single game. It is over a month, and he is questionable for this game. He is not playing. I don't think we can really get any interest in using Norris Cole here. Timmy Frazier's salary has bumped up to 6,600. That is making it tough. He is averaging 40 points across his last three, so that's obviously brilliant. And at 6,600, it's tremendous value. You've got to think to yourself, can Timmy Frazier get me 35? And it's a fair question to ask. I think that at 6,600, he's not a must-play anymore, as he was for the last probably 2 weeks, but he is still somewhat in play. Tone Douglas at 5,500, he dropped 31 in the last game, but in a similar situation to Frazier, 55 just makes it a little bit high. D'Angelo Russell at 51 has definitely been underperforming, averaging under 18 points in his last five. But this is an opportunity for him to put up a big game, so I'm fine with using him. And Marcelo Huertas at 3,500. It's a good matchup for him. He played 28 minutes in the last game. He could get to 20 points and have tremendous value as a minimum salary guy. Probably a ballsy play to do it, though. The shooting guards. Jordy Clarkson's at 5,300. I think that Clarkson is a pretty good play at that salary. He's been a little bit off his game, but he's averaging over 30 points in his last three against the Pelicans. I think that 30 points is something that he's realistically able to achieve here, especially with a $300 salary drop. Kobe's also had a $300 salary drop. He's down to 5,100. He's averaging 27 across his last three. I don't mind using Kobe because one of these nights it's going to hit, but he's definitely a tournament and not a cash game option. At small forward, a couple of guys here that are interesting from the Pelicans. We've got Jim Ennis at 3,800. He's getting some minutes, but he's not turning them into a huge amount. But at 3,800, he only needs to give you 21 or 22 points to really return a lot of value. He's in play. Jordy Hamilton at 4,600. The play has dropped off, and he's back in a bench role, so I'm a little bit souring on what Hamilton can do, but this is as good a matchup as it gets for wing players, so Hamilton is back in business to me. Well, Luki Babbitt at 5,400, he's been a 29 average across his last five. I think you've really got to consider Luke Babbitt as well as a player that you can have in a lot of lineups. The Lakers side, Ryan Kelly and Meta World Peace, not a lot to talk about with those guys. At power forward, Julius Randle pulled in 20 boards in the last game, but it only gave him 32.5 fantasy points, probably because he didn't score really at all. He's at 6,500. I think that he's a pretty decent guy to look at that salary too, if you're looking to fill up some space on the roster. Ryan Anderson will be out. Brandon Bass is likely out as well. And Larry Nance is going to play, but at 3,600, I'm not really sure he's going to do enough. The centers, you know I'm going to like Alexei Ajinsa here. He's at 4,500. I think he's more of a tournament player. They're not really a cash option. Tariq Black, Roy Hibbert, Kendrick Perkins, these are all Omer Asik. They're all minimum salary guys, but I'm not sure that they're really DFS plays. The next game, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks need this victory. They need to keep themselves solidified into the playoffs. 6.5-point favorites the Mavericks are. The total is 194.5. Jordy Farmer at 3,600 for the Grizzlies put up another 23.5-point performance in the last game, and you're not going to get big games out of him, but at 3,600, I reckon you get 22 points out of him relatively comfortably. Fine with using him. JJ Barea has skyrocketed to 6,800. That is making it tough to use him. He's averaging 37 across his last three, 38 across his last five, so it's not stupid to use him, but much like Tim Frazier earlier on, a lot of his value has evaporated. But still, he's someone to look at and consider. Ray Felton, Xavier Munford, not going to be looking at those guys. Shooting guards, Wes Matthews has been playing a lot better. He's at 5,200 though, but that feels sort of the right price, and that means I'm probably not going to be looking at using him. Devin Harris has been getting big minutes lately, averaging 30 minutes across his last three. Also averaging under less than 20 fantasy points. At 3,800, you have to consider him, and maybe a big game turns on, but I'm not overly keen. Lance Stephenson, no. And Tony Allen, no trust there whatsoever either. The small forwards, Justin Anderson's at 3,900. Did not play that well in the last game, just 12 points, but he can get to 20, he can get to 25, so he is a tournament option. As you can see, there's so many cheap tournament options out there on this slate, which makes it a tough one to put a huge amount of cash down on. Matty Barnes at 5,700. The salary's dropped for Barnes, you know, from what it was a few weeks ago. Not overly interested in him at 5,700. Vince Carter, though, I am. He's averaging 21 across his last five, 25 across his last three, and he's priced at 4,000. Now, the salary's risen 300, which sort of turns me off him a little bit, but he's an okay guy to look at. Also, PJ Hairston is going to be back in this game, so that might take a little bit away from Vince Carter. Power forwards. Dirk is down to 6,800, so that's becoming appealing. This is a great matchup for Dirk. I'm all about using Dirk here. I think that he can be a big, big performer. Dave Lee at 4,200, no thank you. Jermichael Green at 5,700, that salary is just way too high for a guy who's probably going to top out at 25 points on most nights. Not using him. What about Zebo? He's at 7,500. He put up a massive 47 in the last game. He's averaging 35 across his last five. 7,500 just feels just a touch too high. The center position, the Mavericks, that's a write-off. Zaza Pachulia, Salah Mejri. Now, Pachulia started the last couple of games. He's priced at 3,600, almost minimum. He could be worth looking at in this matchup against a terrible team. Tournament, again, cheap tournament punt. Mejri, he's way riskier than Pachulia. The Birdman has started the last few for the Grizzlies and produced absolutely nothing, so I don't think he's really worth using. And I just want to touch on something about Grizzlies and centers. I saw this tweeted out. I wish I could remember. It was a Grizzlies Facebook page, or I think that might have been the Score Facebook page talking about the Grizzlies have waived Ryan Hollins in order to sign Xavier Munford for the rest of the season. And some absolute cocksucker left a comment on the bottom there. This is why this franchise is going nowhere. Why didn't they cut? They should have, instead of waiving Ryan Hollins, they should have waived Marc Gasol. He shows he doesn't care about the team. He's only showed up for one game, and that was against the Bulls, just so he could see his brother. He's got no interest in this team. We should waive Marc Gasol. That is the level of the internet. Let's look at the next game, the Clippers and the Jazz. Where are we? Also, if you're still listening to this podcast, congratulations, because this is the dog days of the NBA regular season, the dog day of this podcast. If you're still listening, send me a tweet and I'll give you a shout out. I'll retweet you if you're still listening at this point. Anyway, the Clippers and the Jazz, we're into Tankamageddon here at the moment. Well, no, actually, let's rephrase that. That's a bad choice of words. Restapalooza? Yeah, maybe that. That's horrible, but we'll go with that. Now, Austin Rivers is at 3,800. The last time that Chris Paul sat, he dropped 46. Austin Rivers is dealing with an injury of his own. He's questionable with an ankle issue. That's a concern. If Rivers plays, smash him. If Rivers doesn't play, we're into a whole different scenario that Pablo Prigioni at your minimum salary becomes a guy who's surely a lock to get 20 points. Surely. Shelvin Max at 59. Love it that he doesn't have to play Chris Paul, but not keen on using him at 5,900. Hull Neto, Trey Burke, no thanks. Shooting guards. No JJ Redick in this one. So Jamal Crawford, the last time these rests happened, he dropped 47. He's at 4,600. I think he should be considered in basically every sort of lineup that you can. Rod Hood is at 5,600. He has been absolutely on fire, averaging 32 points across his last five games. The matchup's it would have been tough. It's not going to be all that tough in this one. So I think Rod Hood is a pretty decent guy to use. CJ Wilcox at 3,500. If Austin Rivers is out, he is going to have to play minutes, and he's going to be minimum salary, and he's just almost by sheer force of being out there, someone has to score, and Wilcox could be that guy. 3,500, you could get 30 points out of him, and that is not me talking shit. It could actually happen for CJ Wilcox, so got to consider him. Alec Burks might be returning. I don't think he's going to do much in his return. At small forward, Jeffrey Green, he's questionable as well. He'd be in for a massive game. He dropped 31 the last time these guys sat. He's got a knee issue. He's at 4,200. I think we do have to look at him if we know that he's playing. I think you almost definitely have to look at him. Gordy Hayward at 6,800. The concern here is that maybe the Jazz smash the Clippers, but the last time the Clippers reserves played, they were pretty competitive. 6,800 for Gordy Hayward is pretty cheap, but I'm not sure I'm all that keen here, just for those other factors. Luke Marmute, even if he gets 48 minutes, probably isn't going to be worth the 3,500 salary. Paul Pierce, even despite the guys resting, Pierce isn't going to go out there and play 30 minutes, so I don't think we need to think too much is going to change with his role. Onto the power forwards. Blake is out, obviously. So Derek Favors at 6,700 has been a little bit underwhelming lately, averaging just 26 points across his last five. But this matchup should be decent for him. I think he's someone to consider. Trey Lyles at 38. If you think that this game is going to be a blowout and maybe the Jazz rest their guys and allow Lyles to play more, then look at him. Otherwise, no. Trevor Booker, no. Jeff Ayers and Brandon Dawson, they might get themselves some extra minutes if Jeff Green and Austin Rivers both miss. And then Brandon Dawson would be someone who would be marginally interested in. Jeff Ayers, not so much. We're talking now at the center price, and we're looking at my boyfriend. Cole Aldrich is at 3,700, one of the best players that's out there on the board. The last time he started, because he's a little bit underwhelming in that game, but in his last five, in just 18 minutes a game, he's getting 19 points. He's going to be a fantasy point per minute guy. That means he should get close to 30 at 3,700. Love it. Rudy Gobert, on the other hand, 5,900. Not a big salary. He could destroy this team. So I do like Gobert at 5,900, but I like Aldridge a hell of a lot more. Part deux of Restapalooza, the San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets. Now, nothing official like the Clippers has come out yet, but Greg Popovich and the reports coming out of San Antonio are he's going to rest all of his key players. Now, what does that mean? We don't exactly know yet, but my best guess and my estimation at this point of who the best players are, the key players are, I think we're going to have no Duncan, Ginobili, Aldridge, Leonard, Parker, and Green, in addition to Boris Dia. I think we're going to have all of those guys sit this game, and that is going to make for some very, very tough decisions in fantasy. Patty Mills at 3,500. You'd have to look at him. He's going to play big minutes if all these guys are out. Andre Miller at 3,600. Maybe you consider him. He had a game of 23 points in his last five. I'd definitely be looking at Mills at $100 less, but he'd be in play. On the Nuggets side of things, Emmanuel Mudiay and DJ Augustine, it's too up in the air to really consider who using those guys. Maybe you look at them in the tournament, but there's so many other options out there. I don't really think they're going to be great guys to look at. At shooting guard, Kevin Martin is minimum salary. He had 23 points in today's game against the Warriors. Can he do it again? I think you definitely have to consider him. John Simmons at 3,500. He's a 25-point guy that's out there as well. And at minimum salary, it's a great matchup. It's an awesome matchup. Simmons is in play. Yeah, Will Barton, 5,100. Not one I could throw one of these other guys out there at 3,500. Barton is as much of a gamble as his other players are. Gaz Harris at 5,200. He's actually been pretty good recently, averaging 29 points across his last three. I'm okay with using Gaz, but not falling over myself to use him. Small forward, no Kawhi. So who else is there? What about Kyle Anderson at 4,100? He had 26 points today. He should be pushing 30. He had 34 points in the last five games in a game where he played 36 minutes. He should be looking at 30 points. He's a great option. Jakar Sampson, Axel Tupan, yeah, probably not so good. At power forward, David West. He's a 30-point guy waiting to happen. He's at 3,600. Look, maybe he's included in the key players he needs to rest. We don't know. They've got to field someone out there. So West at 3,600 is another option. Ken Faried at 5,300. Too much uncertainty for me to use him with his knee. Now, Darrell Arthur's unlikely to play for the Nuggets, but that'll mean that Fried might get 22 minutes, and then Joffrey Lavernier will play some extra. Axel Tupan and Jakar Sampson will play some extra at the four a bit as well. At the center position, Boban. Is it 3,500? He could be a guy that gets 27 points, 30 points. He's another guy you got to look at. Yusuf Nurkic at 4,400. Not so keen on Nurkic. Nikola Jokic at 5,800. Maybe. These guys are all possibilities, though, to have big games, considering they're going up against no one, but we don't know what Mike Malone's going to do. Joffrey Lavernier had 28 points in the last game, and he can play some 4 and 5. He's at 3,800. You can even punt an option on him, and maybe he gets those minutes and gets 20 points. That's a possibility for Lavernier. This is why I said it looks so appealing, and there's so much out there, but who the bloody hell knows what is going to happen? Who knows if it's going to be Patty Mills or Andre Miller or John Simmons or Kevin Martin? Or is it going to be Cole Aldrich? Is it going to be Joffrey Lavernier? Is it going to be Boban Marjanovic? Is it going to be David West? Like, who's going to get the value here? There is so many cheap values out there. That's why I reckon locking in one of some of these high-priced guys like a Giannis, and yes, because you're going to have money left over, and getting Giannis and getting, I'm getting 45 points from Giannis. Bang it. He can go for 50. He can go for 70. And then maybe get 30s out of these other guys. And it's going to be very, very, very interesting indeed. Here is my best guess at DFX picks for the day, because I just don't know who's sitting for the Spurs yet. They haven't given that concrete information. Anyway, Patty Mills, point guard, 3,500. Reg Jackson, 6,000. And Kemba, 79. Shooting guard, Kev Martin, 35. Jordy Clarkson, 53. And I don't like any of the high-priced shooting guards. Small forwards, Kyle Anderson, 41. Jay Crowder, 63. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, 97. Power forwards, David West, 36. Jabari Parker, 66. And I don't like any high-priced power forwards. And the centers, Cole Aldrich, 37, Rudy Gobert, 59, and Nick Vucevic, 8,000. So even if you think Vucevic, he might only play 27 minutes and get 36 points, and that's not enough at 8,000, you can smash these other guys. Anderson, West, Aldrich, Mills, Martin, Simmons, and hopefully retain some of that value. Rivers, if he plays. There's so many cheap options out there, and you've really got to consider all of them. We are done today, guys. Thank you for listening right through to the end. If you're listening, again, send me a tweet if you got through to the end of this podcast and let me know that you are still listening, because I imagine the numbers are getting pretty low at this point in the season. Remember, there's still leagues going on. There's still plenty of fantasy stuff happening throughout the offseason and the playoffs. We're going to be running DFS contests all the way through to the end of the regular season. We're planning on having a playoff preview awards projection show between the regular season and the playoffs as well, with myself and either Kyle or Matt. We're trying to work that out at this point, work out what we're going to do with that. Then we've got the playoff stuff. Then we're going to have team review podcasts. Then we're going to have draft stuff, free agency. The fun never stops at the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show. Show your support by leaving a review on iTunes or subscribing and giving us a thumbs up on YouTube. Helps tremendously. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.